This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A video from a player or meeting a player or getting a player off a ban or, you know, actually dealing with fans who've been, you know, fucked over by the old Bill, et cetera, and helping fans out that way, writing people character references, stuff like that. Absolutely worthwhile. But yeah, some of the things, do you get choices and stuff? No, because you don't have any real power. I couldn't veto any decision that Steve Carinaro or the board. I could express displeasure, but I couldn't veto it. Rob Quinn, football pyramid doesn't sell to Southeast Asia, therefore we mean fuck all to the FA, pretty much, yeah. Jay was right. Get the money addicts away to their Super League and let us have our game back. Yeah, bootlickers, yeah. I'm here for the Millwall team and match talk. I'll dip out for now, back in a bit. Cool. How does the board not know who governs the club from an overview perspective? How does a fan on the board not know who governs the club? Who governs the club? The EFL is in their league, but the FA overdoes it, and I'm not a fan of the board anymore, so yeah. So, yeah, we fuck the Premier League and go over the pink pound. Scrapping replays is making us improvise, but please talk about Sir Neil Harris. Yeah, come on, let's talk there. Go on, Dad. Go on, Jay. Let's talk about Neil.
What do we want to talk about? Yeah. What do we want to touch on with Neil? I mean, I think everything that we wanted to say about Neil Harris has been said. I honestly think we'd be going over old comments and just, you know, reviving the dead comments. But look, to summarise Harris, he keeps us up. The geezer's immortal at Millwall, and he's been given an 18-month contract. And that will leave him 12 months for next season. Does he deserve to stay in next season? I see some of the comments. Would you have him? Yes, he does deserve it, very clearly. Do we want that? The vast majority probably don't, because we'd essentially then have the same manager and a lot of the same players we had 6 years ago. So are we moving forward? I don't think so. But, you know, the club ain't going to sack Neil Harris. The club are not going to ask him to walk away.
No, I definitely will.
It'll either be in
the
season because he wants to.
Yeah, no, that's it. No, I totally agree. Yeah, no, I think that's pretty honest. Yeah, I think that's probably pretty true. What do you feel that the club has maybe made a mistake with these contracts extensions?
I do.
I don't think you really talked about this on Sunday, but
no. See, I do. In the long run, I think that the mistake was already made as to why they had to make these contracts. And what I mean by that is that over the years, the last couple of years, there's been no succession plan. We've not built, we've not sold to recoup. We've not built the squad how other teams do it. So these contract extensions are a repercussion of not doing that. But it's also a shrewd move because we have got 11 total players that were not going to be here next year. We aren't guaranteed at this current time to stay in the division, although it is now looking rosy. And we will not have the finances to go out and overhaul 11 players that we lose. So, yeah, we do need to retain some of them. I don't think Bielkowski would be retained. I don't think Sean Hutchinson would be retained. I think they would have been done already. I think the Bradshaw, the timing of it is, you know, maybe that they thought a bit harder about it, a bit longer about it. I'm not Bradshaw's biggest fan. I appreciate him. I think he works very hard. And I think he understands what it takes to play for Millwall. I really do think he's that type of player. And I really do like him for that reason. But one good year in 6 years and being a regular on the injury table means that you are a wage thief, essentially, at a club that doesn't have a lot of finances to allow you to get away with that. So I personally wouldn't have renewed Bradshaw when you've got Nisbet, Imarku, you know, you've got some exciting forward players. But it is telling to how the club are going to proceed in the summer and into next season with possibility of Neil Harris being here, because George Saville, Bradshaw, Ryan Leonard, they are Neil Harris players. He would have had to have probably signed off on Saville and Bradshaw coming back. I don't think Leonard, I think that was a given, but Saville and Leonard would have definitely been Harris's input. And if he weren't going to be here, I don't think you'd have that input. So, yeah, it's I think we've shot ourselves in the foot because we've had to do this as opposed to wanted to do this, is my opinion.
Yeah, I think the club had no option but to get him back.
Yeah.
And I think that through the manager changes, they haven't added up older appearances. If they are based on appearances, I would be very, very shocked if someone knew how many appearances they were having and didn't go, whoa, hang on. You know, do we want to keep them? Bradshaw is a good lad, but he's been injured a lot and he'll come back. And is it going to be a long-term injury? I mean, we discussed this on the pod, didn't we, on the chat, that it's in the players' interest to have those extensions triggered because it means they're guaranteed another year. And it's obviously not necessarily in the club's interest to trigger those contracts. So I don't know. And I don't think we'll ever find out about it, to be fair. We might do, but, no. You know, I mean, if anyone's at the, you know, the end of season dinner and that, just ask a question. If you're sitting next to Bradders or Leonard, Leno and that, just turn around and say, you know, did the club make a mistake? Is that why you got the, you know, the extension or not, and see where they go from there?
Like you just said, we appreciate
that. No, that's it. Yeah, thanks for coming. Off we go. I've put a survey up. There's a vote on, if you want to get on there and vote on YouTube, on the comments in YouTube. Are we happy with Sav, Lenny and Bradders staying at the moment? It's only about 30 of you voted, to be fair. There's loads more watching, but only about a few of you voting. 28 voted. 75% said yes, 25% said no. Also, make sure you click the like and subscribe button. So then, I've been in Turkey for 2 weeks. Jay, have I missed anything? Has Millwall done all right? Are we safe yet?
It's been...
Do you think we're safe? Or do you think one
it's
more
been
game?
Bipolar. I'll give you that. The word I'll use is bipolar. That's what I'll give, because after the Easter weekend, I did the pod on my Todd for the Rotherham game.
You
and
did
then we
your
went
pod on your own,
in.
Mate.
I did, and it was tough. I was sweating after, but we got through that, okay? And then the argument was right, maybe the Rotherham game was the kick up the arse they need to see this out, because that's what can happen. You know, you lose that game, you're in trouble. And then we went to Huddersfield, and it was very much the same, and all hell broke loose. You know, this is a reactive show. We only react on the moment. We react on the game. So it's bipolar, you know, most sports podcasts are. You react in a moment. And we reacted very strongly to what these players were giving us. What Harris is, after the Huddersfield game and Harris's comments. And it was not looking very good. And then we went into the Leicester game and everyone expected nothing. And he put the same team out. That was the one thing that we didn't expect out of the Leicester game. But you know what? Credit where it's due for the players that we slag off for, or that I do anyway. I won't speak for everyone, but the players that I slag off, the comments, the situation that around some of the things that Harris has done, for all of that has been completely backed up from Harris, from the players last week, and made us all eat crow. And now we're sitting, going into the Sunderland game, knowing that we haven't even got a win to stay up. If results just go our way, we're up mathematically. And that's credit to the players, credit to Neil Harris. He was brought here to do one thing only. And if he keeps us up, he's achieved that, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's a fucking nil-nil draw or loss at Swansea and results have gone our way. He's done his job. And that's all
I have to agree. Sorry, but I have to agree. Dan is coming in a minute once he decides to put his camera on. I have to agree with Tony. If any Wall supporter thinks we are safe, you have not supported Wall.
There is that.
Wall needs something versus Swansea is still on the cards. It is indeed. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, a point keeps us up tomorrow. Yeah, we're keeps us up tomorrow, so.
Welcome, Dan. You've missed the near an hour rant about the FA Cup, and now we've gone on to Millwall, so you've come in at the right time.
That's I'll okay, yeah, no, we've been talking about it plenty today, haven't we?
Yeah, no, that's it. So, yeah, I'll let you two talk for you. I just need to get a drink. So, I think we've done Neil Harris, but, I mean, what's your thoughts on tomorrow's trip to a million miles away to Sunderland? I'm just going to shoot. I'm in Sunderland. Chat amongst yourself.
I'll waffle for a bit if you want, mate. I was going to say, Sunderland haven't been in great form, which probably poses a greater risk to us, to be completely honest. Obviously, our last few away games haven't been good, but our last two performances at home have been good. So if we can take a bit of momentum with us up there, it'd be good. And as you said, Jay, we only need a point. I hope he doesn't go up there and try and play for just the point, because that's what he's almost tried to do at Huddersfield and Rotherham, and that's where it went so badly wrong. I completely agree with Tony's comment that was just on screen there about we could still very much need something against Swansea, but wouldn't it be nice to potentially have it all done after tomorrow, just with the point, and then we can maybe give some of the kids a go at home against Plymouth, give some of the kids a go at Swansea away, because some of them are smashing it, and I think it'd be good to see some of them get a go and see if they could be the answer potentially longer term, maybe even into next season.
Yeah, that's it, mate. And I think the sooner we do get safe, the sooner we can start looking to next season, because by all accounts, it's going to be very busy and we need all the time in the world to be able to start working on that with the amount of players we've got going out. And if Harris could win away games at Millwall, he probably wouldn't be manager of Millwall. Let's be honest.
No, that's it. Yeah,
He's really good at home, which is, most of us would lay our hat on safety coming at home to Plymouth. But it is a banana skin game, It's not really happy trails up at Sunderland. And they are on a bit of a downward spiral. We can capitalise on that, but we never do. This is me always bipolar. But it's certainly a place that we can go and secure safety. And I think that, while the light is there, it's a big opening now. The players cannot surely take another two step forwards and one step back. We know that's the Millwall way, but just get it done and let it all be over with. And then, like you just said, Dan, play the youngsters, try new formations, do what you want to do as a manager starting the season. Because I honestly think Harris has been very limited in what he wants to do. I don't think he wants to do everything he's done, because the situation we're in, the players at his disposal, I think this is very much just like we said a month ago when he come in, that this is just go to war. So I'd like to see what Harris can do as a manager properly, with having an open playbook, if you like. So yeah, it's not going to be an easy trip, but it's one we should be relishing.
100%. Michael, 100%. I think it is one where we should just go out, hammer and tong, go out. And just every game, what is there, two games left, three games left? Just go for
three.
It. Absolutely. Three games left. Just absolutely hammer the fuck out of it and just go boff. Nothing to lose, nothing to gain. Do you know what I mean? We only need to get a point, really, and hope that Sheffield Wednesday lose. And then, we should be all right. But,
They don't want to be relying on other teams to drop points. I mean, that's what it came down to last season. We've been in that position many times. There's obviously that time around about 12 years ago when Palace obviously bailed us out in the last minute. Don't want to be going down to that. It would just be nice to get it done ourselves.
No, that's it. Those of you watching on Twitter, I have just put the vote underneath this this broadcast in the post underneath it if you want to look at it and vote on that question for you lot. Is are we happy with Savlin and Brad as staying? The vote is there at the moment. One person has voted, but yeah, get in there and vote and add your voice.
I'm quite interested to hear what people think on Bradshaw, actually, because we discussed Lenny and Sav last
week. So we touched on it, Dan, just now. We just touched on it, and I think the consensus was, look, I mean, and I'll come straight to you for your point after, but the consensus from myself, and I think from most in the chat, was that, look, definitely a Millwall-type player, knows what it takes to play for the shirt, gives everything, he always has done, you know, really likeable type player, but he's had one good season in 6 years and he lives on the injury table. And that is not good enough at a club that is strapped financially, that we can't afford to have this person taking a wage and not play games at a club that is financially strained. So, while appreciate the player, probably not the best decision, but the club have shot themselves in the foot where they've had to make this decision because we've got players out of contract, because we've got loans going back and we won't have the finances. We've shot ourselves in the foot in years leading up to this with no succession plan that we've had to do this. So what are your thoughts on that?
I don't mind Bradshaw. I kind of agree with a lot of the points you said. Obviously, had that one really good season, hasn't really ever replicated it since. I think in terms of where we're going to be in terms of the squad, because we're looking at probably a decent turnover of players, I don't mind him sticking around maybe for one more year, because I assume it's a one-year contract extension he's got. And usually with these contract extensions, if you sign a contract and then another year can be triggered, it's more often than not, you don't get another year to be triggered after that. What I would be concerned with is if we went in next season with Bradshaw as our main striker, that would be a concern to me. I think as a backup player, as a squad player, for someone who can be around the squad, his experience might be good to have around with some of the young players. And as you said, you know, proper Millwall player, knows the club really well. I think it will just be a good thing to have him in and around the group. And obviously, he's not the most prolific. But he does chip in with the odd goal here and there. So I think for one more season, as long as he's not a starter, I don't mind it. But if he's going to be starting, then I'm going to be cross.
Tony W's got a good point here. Right? Harris has only done what was needed. If we are safe tomorrow, Harris will definitely play a new style for the last two games. Do you reckon so? Or do you reckon he would just...
Let's bear in mind as well, if we talk about player selection as well, bear in mind Harris, when he was with us first time, he was a youth manager and he gave debuts to quite a lot of players. And obviously we saw players, some of the younger players like Aidan O'Brien and Marlon Romeo come through under Harris and developed really well. So I think I'd like to see some of the young players being played, especially obviously as we know the academy over the last few years has been really prolific in terms of winning trophies. So it'd be interesting to see how they handle that step up. There was a comment a couple of minutes ago about we need to get them some good loans. And I do agree with that. It'd be nice to, I mean, I think one of the most important things for a young player developing is try and keep them local, give them a sense of home. And there isn't really a shortage of clubs in the London area in terms of where we are that we could loan these players out to. So I'd definitely like to see some of them in the rest of the season. Rest of the season, once we're safe, and also I do think it would be good to see maybe a change of style. See what Harris might have up his sleeve.
Dan Riggs, you've been fucking quiet today, unless I fucking haven't really seen your comments because they've been a bit fucking mental, to be honest. But yeah, hey ho. He says just shows the intent of the club going forward. As long as he smiles for Harris, it's all good. I do think,
as I said, I'm okay with it for one more year.
As long as you get the other players in, but I mean, don't forget, if we're going to use the youth, then yeah, great.
Yeah.
If we're not, then we're pretty much fucked, aren't we?
The thing is, with youth football to first team football, especially in the Championship, it's a big step. Like, I mean, obviously, Jude Bellingham's like one of the main outliers, but how many players do you see go straight from an academy to a first team squad without having like one loan spell at all?
Yeah, I get that. But what I'm saying is that last year, right, I've just seen a comment from Chris, by the way, not Chris, Chris Brown. Brad is a Nesbitt up front all next season. Can I handle all the excitement.
Yeah. Well, I'll just my question. Go on, Nick. You can pose your question.
My question is: last year, the under 23s won the development league. The under 18s have won the development league this year. So we've had two different age groups back to back winning the best youth team in the country. And how many of those youth are in the team? I understand that's the under-18s are obviously young. I understand that, and we're not doing. But the under-23s are the team that won and beat Sheffield United in the final last year, last season, what, you know, quite a few of us went to. Where are they now?
Well, this is
a good point.
It's a massive problem that the club has had, not just from bringing players through to play for the club and earn a status at the club, but for a financial point of view and all. We don't bring players through, see the potential, give them games, rack their price tag up, and then sell them on. We don't do that. Bristol City's, your Norwich's, they all do that. The disconnect from the academies to the first team is almost like a top-tier club where you've got to be a Phil Foden or a Cole Palmer to make it into the first team at these clubs. We haven't got the luxury of the finances or these amazing players. We should be relying heavily on the youth set up. You know, we've let some good youth players go, really good youth players go.
But look at that.
If we're still here.
I mean, I don't get Mark Murphy's point there. If we had a bigger squad, then some of our youngsters could go out on loan. But they're not used for our. They're not used in our team in the first team anyway. So realistically, why can't they go on loan? If a lot of them went out on loan this season, then next season they might have had the experience and all that to make the step up. But I agree with what you said, Dan, about under 21 development league to suddenly coming into championship football is a massive jump. It's like, you know, I can ride a push bike and now I'm going to drive a bus.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've had, I think SA is maybe the one outlier, but I think a lot of us would maybe say that SA could probably do a loan spell, to be honest, next season to bulk him up a little bit and get used to the demands of first team football, because he's looked good when he's came on in his flashes. And I think most of us would like to see him get more minutes, but if he's going to be able to go play in League One, quite a physical league, and get minutes consistently, it's only going to be good for his development, isn't it?
Got to be one of the first that go out the door. I think he really does need that experience, because, like you just said, Dan, there's a proper player there, and a year's loan will do. Look what it's done for someone like Alex Mitchell, you know, who's a breath of fresh air. They love him there. Will he come back? And this is the problem that we'll have with SA. Will he come back? Will another club go, bloody hell, we'll take him. We'll offer you 600 grand. We'll always sell low Millwall. You know, we'll always see a pound note and go, oh, we get itchy because we don't have that sort of money. We're not a financially driven club. So we always take the low ball. It is a concern, but we need to start doing it, because at some point we have to change our philosophy on, we need to start bringing the youngsters through as opposed to keeping people too longer when we could get money from. So we let people die at Millwall and let the youth leave. So we look after the old, get rid of the young. We're the oldest squad in the league. We've had the same players we've had for over half a decade. Something has to completely flip to where we get younger, we get more talent, we get hungrier, we get faster, and we get start having a turnover. How many clubs do you see with the same squad in 3 years' time, in 2 years' time? It's a problem of ours that needs to change.
The problem I have as well is that, you know, look, Matt, I understand what you're saying, Matt, but he's playing at the moment in what, League Two?
League Two, yeah. He's going to be
in League One now.
Promoted.
Yeah. And you're like, you look at him and go, okay, yeah, great. But is he... is he actually a championship player? Because if he was a championship player, we wouldn't have sold him, would we?
Well, jury's out on that one. We have let quite a few talents slip through the drain in the last few years, haven't we? So, I mean, depending on what the price is, I don't think it's the worst shout. I think Alex Mitchell definitely needs to be given a chance in the first team next season, especially. We're all consigned with Tanganga going. I think Hutch is out of contract, and there's every chance he could be off as well.
I mean,
Wallace, he's probably going to be off. We're going to be light at centre half.
what you've got to look at with Mitchell is that Mitchell come into football late in life. You know, 15, 16, he come into football. He was a professional rower. So in the short amount of time he's been here, he's been out on loan, but he's not doing bad considering that he changed sports halfway through his life. That's why he was very lanky. He's very lanky and quite solid because he was a professional rower. So his dad was telling us when we went to Sutton at the beginning of the season that he was a very, very, very good rower. And obviously he's got into football and all that. And, you know, Gary Rowett didn't really talk to him. And, you know, he had another year on his contract and Millwall wanted to keep him and put him out. It's whether or not they're going to bring him back and keep him or they end up going to get rid of him. They have to.
The thing is,
I think he'd be phenomenal if he got... He's a Millwall type player.
Lincoln fans are raving about him week in, week out. Considering, as I just said, we're probably going to be losing three of our centre-halves, I think we absolutely have to give him a chance. I think, you know, I can't say I've watched too much of Lincoln this season. When I have watched him, I think he's been good. I think there's going to be a real player in there. And as you said, he's one of our own. We're always going to get well behind one of our own. I think we've got to give him a chance.
Yeah, Dan Riggs has got a point there. People get to hyper when it comes to our youth, but where is Tyler Bury now? And I don't get
Oxford,
loving him.
Oxford
SA
reserve,
at all.
Mate. He's at Oxford reserves. Yeah. They signed him on loan from that Danish club in January. The Danish club booted him out because he had attitude problems, and now Oxford won't pick him because he's got attitude problems.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, of course. Allegedly.
Thank fuck for that. We aren't the oldest squad in the Championship. Come on in, Gazza. Tell us who is the
we
oldest
are one.
One
of them.
Right, I mean, there. The other one as well. Oldest. Yeah, yeah, I think we are. Are we fatty?
That's a bit harsh on Obafemi. That's very harsh.
Ian Fleming for Obafemi. Yeah, he's a little bit in it. One lead two. If we sell Alex Mitchell, do we get $500,000-$600,000? Get him in the first team. If we sell Alex Mitchell, what do we get? $500,000-$600,000.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Go play next season.
Get him in the, what's called it, yeah. Neil Harris signed Bradshaw, Saville and Leonard 6 years ago and they've all been given new contracts. It's an absolute joke and would only happen at Millwall. Buy a back and if he ain't a champ player, then resell for profit. But if he ain't a champ player, are you going to get good money for him?
Now, there is some fairly rich teams in League One, to be fair, but realistically, if we buy him and he flops, that's probably going to send his market value down.
Potentially,
yeah.
But we have to bring him. So, let's buy him in and then we sell him for nothing.
I think it's a good idea to bring him back, though. I really do. And it will add to Dan's point earlier, my point as well, that you can have Bradshaw on the back burner too. Come on late on, you know, when someone's tired. But ultimately, a Nisbet or Laffey partnership, if Harris is in charge and wants to go two up top, still not 100%, mate. And wants to go two up top, then, that could be quite exciting, you know, if that's the route we want to go down. But don't bring him back and then just sell him for the fun of it. Bring Mitchell back in. Get the youth nice. Players firing back in and we have to. We ain't got the money.
That's true there. Another remember the period when we had Kevin O'Callaghan, Mehmet, Dave Martin, Andy Massey and Brian Horn, they all come through the youth and then obviously they're all part of the team that won the promotion. I'll go on, Dan, and then I'll bring up Steve's comment. Steve's comment's
going to say, for firstly, we've got Adam Malachi, who's obviously been out on loan at Sutton. What's the thoughts on him? I think I'd probably quite like to see him return. I think maybe considering Brian's injury track record. I mean, I don't think Danny's done a bad job out there, but it'd be nicer to have an actual left back out there rather than having a right back out there. I think in terms of what Adam Malachi could learn from Brian next season, we know Brian's going to have his injury problems. That could kind of complement each other quite nicely, even for the next 2 years, because I believe Brian has two more years in his contract left to run after this season. So I think that's something that could work hand in hand quite nicely with each other. And secondly, there's no shortage of talent in South London. You've heard some of the names that we've had on our books. You've heard some of the names that have had trials that are just on our doorstep. There's absolutely no shortage of talent out there. We just need to go out and pick it up before anyone else snaps it up.
Yeah, exactly that. And that seems to be something
Steve Bevan come up with a good point there. If our kids were that good, League One teams would be banging on the door to loan them.
We don't know if they are, though. There could be a chance that they are, and we just don't know, because we don't really know much about a lot of our transfer dealings until it's near enough a done deal. There was little to no talk of Alex Mitchell going out on loan, and then because he was playing pre-season friendlies for us, and then a couple of days later, it's time for Lincoln on loan. We don't know. There's every chance clubs might have came in and said, oh, could we have a look at Romain Essa? And they might have gone, no.
Well, Hull looked in,
didn't they? Allegedly.
And then what would that have said if we would have let him go to Hull?
But then again, he'd be playing even less for Hull than he would be for us.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, no, that's it. Gaz has come back. Huddersfield average age is 33, Cardiff 31, Birmingham 30, Millwall 27.
So we're top four oldest team in the league then, which is out of 24 teams is still right at the top and it does need to change.
If we don't give American Rover, thank you very much for your voice messages, by the way. I haven't been on the show since you started sending them, but yeah, we've got your message. And I don't think you're as drunk as what you said you were, but yeah, you know, I'm not going to play them out for you, but yeah. But we might do next season. He says, look, if we don't give these younger players a chance in the first team, then we will never know their true value. Year 2000, 2001, look what our youth did. We won the league. True. Bradshaw shouldn't be happy to just be a bit part player next season. Time for him to move on. You need to bring youth players through together, not singly. They've been playing together since 9 years old. They have a footballing connection you can't buy. Now, that is a good point, because I remember speaking to, I can't think who it was now, an ex-player, where I think it was Cherno Samba said that when he came over to Millwall, they brought five players they brought over from the team he was playing in, because they were setting the world on fire. And it went from there. So that does make perfect sense. Need a goalkeeper? Get that guy from Rotherham.
I'll say it. I don't think goalkeeper's top of our list of positions. I think there's more priority positions we need to.
I just want to add to that, to what Gaz is saying there, because the numbers you put up there, 33, Huddersfield, Cardiff 31, Birmingham 30, that's the number of players that they've used. The actual ages of the squad, in terms of that, Birmingham's was 25.9, the average age of the squad. That's lower than Millwall. Cardiff's average age, lower than Millwall. Huddersfield's age, lower than Millwall. You've got West Brom as the oldest average age in the squad, using 28 players, with 27.6 years old. Ours is 26.3. You've got three teams that are around the same age of the average starting 11, which is 26 years and 3 days. You then only got 27.6 and 26.8 being the difference. We're still top four with a couple of other clubs at being the oldest squads in the league. I see what you're looking at, because I'm looking at the same thing, and it's you're looking at players used, because they're the exact same numbers that you just read out there. It's a known commodity that Millwall are one of the oldest teams in the league. And it does have to change. And we have to get younger, and we have to get better talent, and we have to have a succession plan. We have to have all these things. They all come in conjunction with each other. So that is one thing in the off season, as soon as we're safe, needs to be addressed. That's the point that I was making.
Yeah, no, I get that. It says here, like Andy Herbert says, Harris did build decor in the current squad with Sweet FA. Let's be honest, Harris might be the only one who can do this. The rebuild days, I take it you're on about. Fans have to be patient with youngsters. SA was getting shit when he played against Cardiff, when we played Cardiff, yeah. You don't know how good they are till given a chance. Look at Romeo, who was chucked in due to injury. And where is he now?
To be fair to him, he was good when he came through and he was okay. He's at Cardiff now. He was okay, but then obviously there was some other problems at the moment with Romeo. So there it, I'm not, Danny, I think the point we're trying to make.
You so badly want to say what it was, didn't you? You so badly know what's wrong with Romeo, but you just can't say it.
Well, we all know the problems are well publicised, so I'm not gonna say it. Going back to Danny's comments there quickly.
I don't know.
We're not.
Danny's comment there on nothing wrong with old players. I think there's kind of a limit as to how many old players you probably want in your squad, because we've kind of been left with the situation now where we've got no succession plan, where we need players to sell on for profit. I mean, we've spoke about it quite a few times, but we reckon there's probably only four or five genuinely sellable players, that there might be a couple of teams that might want to buy them, but that's it. Most of the squad isn't going to sell for probably more than a couple of £100,000, which is absolutely nothing in this market.
I think that's generous, Dan. Five or six players, I think that's really generous.
I would have said the ones that are on a permanent contract are Fleming, possibly Denor,
Nisbet.
I wouldn't even have said Nisbet. I would have said SA and Amaku due to their age. And then I know, not me, but I know that we've had this discussion in our group chat and on here a couple of times. And I think Ben and Stephen and Omar, I think they've both put forward potentially Billy Mitchell and Danny McNamara as well as players that might sell
potentially. Still young,
mate. That's the only thinking there. But, you know, if you said to teams that Bradshaw's under contract and he's going to cost a transfer fee, I don't think many teams are going to fancy him at that price. But if you said to him Bradshaw was free, you might get another championship team might go, oh yeah, you know, we'll have a go.
Well, we had the issue with Danny Mack, remember? The old QPR business.
Yeah.
Oh, that was all bullshit. You know, and we had to tie him down because of, allegedly QPR wanted him. And there was this all, you know, this situation allegedly was going on. We were never really told what went on or how it went on, but there was a bit of a pressing need amongst fans that, well, maybe he might go. So maybe no,
he got sold out by the club and fucking thrown under it by the club because he wouldn't sign a contract due to a clause, and he got
That's that then. But he's still wide. I agree with Danny. He's probably one of them who could.
Good question here.
Who could?
If Rowett gets a decent job, who's he coming back for?
I actually don't know.
Couldn't he?
The problem is, what player? Players, does he have a strong affiliation to? As you've kind of said a couple of times, Mickey, he wasn't really like a good, like, he wasn't a man manager. No, but he did. Was he? Like,
yeah, but allegedly it was Fleming. He got Fleming in and Denor. And he could potentially go back. If they're not playing in the positions or how they want to, and he suddenly goes to a half decent team, then there is potential, I suppose, especially if he went to a Premier League.
He ain't going to get a Premier League job, though. Let's be realistic. He'll probably get a championship job, another kind of lower-end championship job.
Maybe.
It is interesting with Rowett that he's put himself out there. He's not doing it for the goodness of his own heart, is he? He's doing it because he wants to advertise himself. So, you know, there will be jobs that come open at the end of the season. You're probably looking at Stoke's job might come open.
They ain't going back to Stoke, mate. They'll chase.
No, I know, but I'm just spitballing that there is teams that are going to probably look at making a change at the managerial position. You know, I don't think Middlesbrough's too set either. You know, I think that there's rumblings there that Carrick is ran his course there. You know, but you never know. Anything. Millwall might open back up for all we know. I was going to say Millwall might be open before all we know. We still don't know what's happening there. But yeah, you know, there's been talk of Carrick might want to, he's getting itchy feet, and you know, managers at clubs that have only just signed that are right down the bottom that are struggling as well that could move on. It's a cutthroat league. Managers lose their job after 10 weeks now. No, I wouldn't be surprised if 6 or 7 lose their job.
It might not get one in the summer, but maybe straight away off the back.
Yeah, exactly
of
that.
You know, first games of the season, someone gets binned off. He's there.
Well, we don't know how well Tony Mowbray is. We don't know if, you know, the situation is he actually going to come back and manage the club in the dugout. You know, is that going to be a thing? We don't really know what's happening with him there. You know,
I think the big thing is with Rowett, and obviously we know this, and Birmingham kind of know it as well, because obviously he's been there a couple of times. The way Rowett wants to play football doesn't really align with how clubs want to play in terms of the modern way. Like Rowett for this stage of the season, if you're a club that's failing, particularly more towards the bottom end of the league, Rowett's the perfect kind of person to go in, give you the pickup and get you over the line. And I do think he will get Birmingham over the line to safety. But in terms of if you're looking for a long-term plan with Rowett, particularly in terms of style of football, I think clubs are going to be put off by that.
Yeah, big time. His track record will do that itself. What he did at Stoke when he had a bigger club, you know, and he did do well at Millwall, but he's known for being a jump man, isn't he? He likes to jump ship. So that will put clubs off. Clubs want to get younger, more modern now. We've seen that. We tried to do it. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to have people banging his door down, but there is a market for Gary Rowett. Someone said he's like a Sam Allardyce. He is. He'll keep you up.
Yeah, he's no a championship doubt. Sam Allardyce, pretty much.
Yeah. He fits into that Tony Mowbray kind of bracket, doesn't he? You know, he fits into that sort of mould. You know, the Coventry manager as well, like Robbins, them sort of managers. They're not going to be top level managers. They might not take you anywhere, but they'll keep you in the league and they'll keep you ticking over and they'll keep you stable because they're really good managers and they keep the club at a good level and the turnover is pretty good. So they know what they're doing, but they're not Pep Guardiolas, you know.
Yeah, Rowett's never taken the team down, and I hope that realistically Birmingham does go down. But yeah, he's never taken the team down. So, well, gents, we've been an hour and a half in now. Dan's only joined us for about the last 10 minutes, but
Sorry, lads.
That's right. Let's do Sunderland predictions in for tomorrow. So, Sunderland versus Millwall. Get your predictions in the comments. Off you go now. Make sure you like and subscribe. Not enough of you have been liking on those of you on YouTube.
It's probably because you ain't been here banging on to everyone about it, Mickey. I feel like that's part of my hosting gift that's missing at the moment.
That's it. Well, yeah, you need to get back on it. So come on. Make sure you like and subscribe and everything else. And also, you can vote on Twitter if you want. You've only got about 30 minutes left. So that's all good.
And also, can I throw another question out there, Mickey? Is that all right?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, mate. Go on.
All right, cool. Obviously, season's approaching its end. We've thrown a couple of things out there that we're probably going to do over the summer. But if there's anything that obviously the listeners would like to see us do, we're more than open to ideas and seeing what you'd like us to do. Obviously, sometimes in the off season, it can be a struggle to get some stuff out. So if you've got any ideas that you think could work well, then let us know.
We have got a quiz. We will be doing the quiz. Me and Jay have started writing a quiz, haven't we, Jay?
Yes.
Oh. Jay looks as if he's falling asleep tonight instead of Dan, who's constantly like this.
Normally. No, I'm good. I was intrigued with what Dan was saying there, and then you mentioned, I was like, yeah.
Tell us what you want to do. Tell us what your thing is. I mean, loads of you are coming in, so let's have a look. Where are you? The ghost will be here next season playing Harris New Style. Who's the ghost?
Maybe.
No, it's not. We'll still be here next season playing Harris's new style.
Whatever that's
1-1 to Tony. 2-0 Millwall.
A lot of people going for the draw.
1-0, 1-0, draw, 2-2. Samson Tango. Benny Fenton was the best in the transfer market. Yeah, funny game. Sort of game Harris needs to win next season. What else we got? We got 0-0. Get Jay Red Bull.
Jay's been very unwell for like 11 days at the moment. He's getting fed up with it. Yeah, mate, play it, lad. I'm one of them. I'm one of them where I have to feel sorry for myself. I am like that. I'm not ashamed to admit that either. Feel sorry for me.
Where was it? Ideal start campaign for a Harris statue. I can chip in a fiver.
That's Gazza. A good idea, Gazza. I like that.
Yeah, we are talking about that. We're either looking at doing a podcast or doing a quiz for charity. We will have a new charity partner next season, and that will be the Wynn Trust, which is obviously supporting Charlie Wynn, raising some money to get him a full skeleton suit so that then he can start, you know, a massive part of his rehabilitation and get back. He was in hospital for the best part of 6 years. He's now home. I will be hopefully looking at speaking to Charlie soon and do some videos with him and stuff and sharing his journey, etc. going forward. But they will be our charity for next season, and everything what we do is in the charity event and everything else throughout the season will be there. There'll be a Just Giving page, stuff what will appear on the page, and that will be throughout the season so that you can donate throughout the season, and then we get to the end and then we know what's what. So it's just our way of raising some cash for them. Jay looks like he's praying for Buddha. Sunderland 1, Millwall 3. Millwall 1-0. Steve Bevan, good shout. Benny Fenton did that deal with Weller and Posse. Oh, Casper the Ghost.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. 0-1. Where's it? Mickey to score a bicycle kick 90th minute to keep Millwall up. Pub crawl.
We'd all like to see that.
Well, there might well be a pub crawl, but it might be of a different thing to what you think is in
there. Oh, God, that sounds
we are. No, we're looking at a potential.
Dan,
we're looking
instantly,
at,
instantly.
We're looking at, we're looking at maybe a tour. We're looking at maybe doing a tour in the summer break around the old grounds.
That Millwall podcast on tour. And then we're going to Ibiza straight after.
I am not going to Ibiza for you. There is no fucking chance. You're dangerous going to an away game. Fuck knows what you'll be like in another country.
I will come with me. It's fine.
Christ. No, he won't. I bet he wouldn't. But he might, yeah. Next season, can we get some nice backgrounds, nice and corporate? Something looks like you're coming live from a cell at Wormwood Scrubs. Yeah, we could do that if you want. We can fucking. There's AI now, mate. We'll do it. So, yeah, Wormwood Scrubs. Getting a box and stream live from the game. No. Oh, no, I missed that bit. Yeah. No, that's a great point, Daily Mill. Everyone, send us your money so we can buy a box. That's how it goes. I don't know. So, yeah.
Yes, I love this from Jonathan.
You can do a transfer rumor show. Yep.
Yeah, well.
Maybe invite fans for other teams on to talk about how they've found their visit to the old den and the current ground. Yeah, maybe.
I think that's also something we should maybe. I think this will be something we look at closer to next season. But obviously, a lot of other championship shows do invite sometimes someone from our podcast onto their show, and we don't really do that. Would anyone be interested in some kind of capacity for that, or if we brought them on this live on a Friday night?
Yeah, like a view from the away fan sort of thing.
That's coming next season anyway, but yeah, it's all right.
Oh, okay.
Dan's just sharing all the ideas before, you know.
You've got to tell me. I'm Commissioner Sexton.
I am hoping on there. I am doing a show next week with an ex-player. And that will be a Who Are You with an ex-player. And then there'll be another show with them as well. So, yeah, that'll be out soon as with the ex-player. So, yeah, that should be a good one. He's a well-loved ex-player.
and is a Millwall fan. So, yeah, I won't necessarily say who he is yet, but, yeah, it'll be coming out shortly. But that should be hopefully recorded now on Wednesday. So, yeah, that should be good fun.
Got my Who Are You to go out.
Yeah, we've got a whole new rebrand of the website and more information than that will come out shortly. Yeah, it might be good, actually. What's his name? Gazza. To have a chat with you at some point, fella, because it might be worth linking to your site or so, mate, because or seeing what we can do with data on your site if you've got it in Excel format and stuff, and maybe we can make an AI information thing for it so that you can just put questions in and it will give you the answers or so, or use it or so with a data and that. But yeah, we can have a chat, get in touch, we can do that. Other than that, I think we're pretty much done, fellas.
Our predictions.
I don't know where else. Yeah, go on. What's your prediction? I'm going to go 2-0 Millwall.
And do you think the team's going to change?
No, I don't think so. I think Harris is just going to go, and we're going to. I think we might have a little bit of pace put in there, but I don't think so. I think it'll be. I don't know. Is Nesbitt fit yet? Or is Bradders?
He might be back. Nisbet might be back. I can't remember where he was on the bench.
He was on the bench, yeah. He was.
Okay, well, they're both back. Reckon he will look to get some minutes into both of their legs from the bench. I think he's going to find it hard to justify dropping Obafemi after his last few games. I can't see too many changes. Yeah. Not while there's still jeopardy.
Yeah, and what's your score, Dan?
1-0 either way. Won't be many goals.
1-0 either way. Oh, I'm going to say he's going to keep the same team, but George Honeyman is fit and comes back in to replace.
Is he fit? SA? I don't know.
Allegedly, he's touch and go. So I think if he is fit, I'm talking as if he is fit, he comes back in for SA, same team that's been Leicester and Cardiff. And I think we win 2-0.
Yeah, I think 2-0 as well, mate. So yeah, that's it. Let's we'll end it in traditional style. What I do, negative Dan thoughts. Final thoughts, fella.
Obviously, it's not been the season we wanted. Let's just remove any potential jeopardy as soon as we can. Let's not drag it out because I've still got PTSD of what happened around this time a year ago. So the sooner it's done for me, the better. So yeah, get it done, lads. And then going to an eye out of Newcastle.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah, just to second what Dan said. Just get it done now. Enough's enough. No more one step forward, two steps back. Get it out of the way. Get safe. Start looking to the future next season. And lose the last two games to see what we've got, who you want and who you don't want. But yeah, let's lower the blood pressure levels of everybody, every fan, and get it over and done with tomorrow and relax.
That's it. Millwall's going to win tomorrow, and my ending message is the FSA, find your bollocks and become a proper representation for football fans, and the FA in the Premier League, go fuck yourself on the desert island. You don't deserve to be anywhere near football. And the FA, you fucked up St. George's Cross, which was an absolute fucking treacherous fucking decision, mate, and you should be hung for treason for that. And also fucking removing FA Cup replays. Just go give your head a wobble in the page, mate, and fucking handing your notice. See you at the job centre, fella.
Oh, giddy up and get away. Oh, we're going Millwall, how we're going today. Here we go. We're rocking all over the dance.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.